It's not about wins and losses, but the Marlins have lost another game. Even now, the Nats piling into the Marlins. The starters were out in force. Edward Cabrera on the mound, and they cannot get it done. Offense looking slow again. Pitching looking okay in the early innings, as we've seen. But as the innings go on and the backups start to play, pain starts to ensue. Want to dig into that. Is this Marlins roster, is it deep enough? More generally, I think that is the question. That is the topic for today's discussion. Does this roster, the 40-man and the peripheral guys, is there enough there to make a 162 push towards a wild card spot? All on today's Locked On Marlins.
You are Locked On Marlins, your daily podcast on the Miami Marlins, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings from England and welcome to Locked On Marlins. This is your daily Marlins podcast. I am your host, Peter Pratt. Hit me up on Twitter at @MiamiMarlins_UK. Yes, I am British and I am hosting Locked On Marlins. I'm just a fan with a podcast. Hit subscribe to the pod wherever you get them. It's your team every day. And also head over to YouTube and hit subscribe there. Also, you'll see the visual version. You'll see it is evening time here in the UK. The Marlins have just been beaten again in spring, this time to the Nats. Offense was quiet, limited amount of hits. And boy, oh boy, in the latter innings, the relievers got lit up. Story of spring for the Marlins. Nevertheless, it isn't about wins and losses. Everyone remains healthy. Start there. Everyone is still healthy. Few of the guys have gone off to the WBC now, so we're going to be seeing some more regular lineups in the next couple of days, couple of weeks, and actually a lot of our attention will turn to the WBC. I'm not sure I was really following baseball fully the last time there was a WBC, so personally, I'm just very excited to follow this a little bit more closely. Clearly, there's a British interest there. It's unlikely that they will make any serious noise, but nevertheless, I will be cheering the boys on. There's a couple of UK friendly games in there. Unfortunately, the US game, which is maybe not surprising, is not overly UK friendly. Perhaps I might get my spring training work in and have a late one on that evening, maybe crack open a bottle of wine. Who knows? But overall, in today's game specifically, whilst it wasn't on TV, was following things, you know, virtually and from afar, let's say. The main standout for me, Edward Cabrera. He was the starter. Three innings from Eddie. One earned run, couple of Ks in there, couple of hits. Overall, the news from Edward Cabrera that kind of leapt out today, it's from the Fish Stripes Unfiltered guys. So Isaac Azut, Kevin Barral doing their thing with Smoking Joe Rosario on there. And one of the things that was mentioned, I haven't listened to the full episode yet, but I will do this evening. One of the things that was mentioned was that Edward Cabrera actually does have one minor league option year remaining. So that's a very interesting wrinkle that's appeared about Edward Cabrera. However, for me, that changes absolutely nothing in that Edward Cabrera is one of the best five pitchers in the Marlins organization right now. He's pitching like a king thus far in spring. Edward Cabrera, yes, he came in a touch heavy perhaps, but it isn't showing in terms of the results. Edward Cabrera should be in this rotation. He should be in this rotation for as long as he's healthy. That is the key question mark with Edward Cabrera. Can he go 32 starts? History would say probably not on that one. But in some ways, that doesn't really kind of impact the minor league option situation. Like, if they need to give Eddie a blow through the year, limit innings, manage him, whatever, then that's what the IL's for. And that's what those little, you know, forearm strains are for, or those little back tweaks or whatever you put out there. So there's ways of managing Edward Cabrera without needing a minor league option. I think the thing that's interesting there is, if for whatever reason the Marlins feel that Braxton Garrett in the rotation and Edward Cabrera in AAA gives them more of a chance to win now, then potentially that's open to them. I'd be absolutely stunned if they make that call. Absolutely stunned. Edward Cabrera, for me, what he showed last year when he was up at the bigs, it was great. yes, there's still a few question marks with him and, you know, a few control issues now and again. Like, he's young. It's just been littered with injuries over the couple of years. But if Eddie's strong, healthy, ready to go, the Marlins can manage him how they want. For me, there's no need to use a minor league option on Eddie. Keep the minor league option. If you need it down the line, then you can use it equally. If they look to trade him for whatever reason, then that equally could be valuable as part of the trade, you know, the overall package. There is value attached to young guys that have the flexibility that can be sent down to the minors if indeed it is required. But overall, thus far for Eddie, it's been an impressive spring. The outings thus far have been good. The numbers anyway. I didn't see today's game, so I'm interested to see the write-up specifically around it. If you were there or if you've seen more than me, do add it in the comments, guys. Let me know what you think about Eddie. But for me, he's an absolute lock to make this roster, to be in this rotation. Absolute lock. I'd be stunned if he wasn't. The news is interesting from Joe Prisaro. I have no idea how Joe knows this. Haven't listened to the episode yet. So hopefully he does share that information. I'm assuming it must link to, you know, the COVID year perhaps, or something like being on the IL for a period. I don't know. It's all confusing, all this minor league option stuff, isn't it, right? I mean, just a British guy trying to, you know, watch a game that's a bit like rounders. Nevertheless, Edwin Cabrera looks like a lock. Brian Hoeing, stunning turnout last time around. This time, by the numbers anyway, not so good. Not so good for Brian Hoeing. When we saw him up at the major league level last year, albeit it was at the back end of the season, not good. Brian Hoeing, yeah, okay. You know, he's probably he's a fringe major league guy on the Marlins roster anyway. And for me, that is the meat and potatoes of this topic, this conversation, where I want to spend some time. Put it out there on Twitter earlier, around about an hour ago anyway. And what's been kind of playing on my mind here with the Marlins after this offseason of activity and last season's offseason of activity and the trade deadline too that we've had in between is this roster now, like the starters, we're all looking at the starting nine. We're looking at those guys and we're piecing it together, who's playing in what position. But the thing that we haven't done is think about when things go wrong, which they will because it's baseball and 162 games is a long season. That's another topic. Is it too long? We won't get into that today. But there will be times when there's going to be multiple guys that are out because that's just what happens. What happens every year. There's no way that the Marlins should be thinking about if everyone's healthy. Because that doesn't happen. The if everyone's healthy line is pointless, meaningless. They need to plan for the reality when everyone isn't healthy. And that's where I'm starting to get concerned a little bit now. Because what we see in these spring games, to me, tends to play to that. Where the overall organizational depth of the Marlins right now is a lot thinner than it has been. We see it. We saw it a few years ago. The backups come in and the Marlins started to play well and win games. That's why they were winning a lot of grapefruit games, because they had quite a bit of organizational depth. They've made moves to improve themselves at the major league level at the behest of some of those minor league guys. They've drafted in the past couple of years, well and poorly, in maybe equal measures. You know, let's be totally honest, Jacob Berry has just been sent down today, cut from spring camp. Khalil Watson, not to be seen. These are their two first-round picks in the last 2 years, and neither of them have made the first round of cuts in spring thus far, both offensive guys. So that's not a good thing either. That's the problem, right? The Marlins aren't drafting talent that's replacing some of the guys that they've traded away. Overall, right now, as I look right up and down this 40-man and the peripheral guys beyond, there's some non-roster guys, you know, the vets, let's call it. You know, Garrett Hampson, for example, that, you know, should stick around. I think when the signing was made with that one, that my expectation was we'd see plenty of Garrett Hampson this year. And because he's been around, he's the 2023 version of Williams Astudillo. It's probably unfair to Garrett Hampson or maybe Astudillo, however you look at it. But it's looking real thin real quick. And when you start to get these bench guys, you know, the subs coming in, there's not a lot of impact in there. Other clubs, when we see these other clubs, and this is the thing, right? This is the stark difference. not only when we play against like the Cardinals, their starters just look ready. They look ready to go right now. It was a stark difference. They look sharp for definite. Then the backups come in and the backups start absolutely blasting the Marlins backups because the talent is greater. Real big problem for the Fish, in my opinion. It didn't really occur to me until the last maybe, 24 hours perhaps. Started to really think about this and think, when things go sideways, the Marlins have, the depth is thin in terms of talent. And that makes sense. Like they're not going to be layered upon layered upon layered with studs everywhere because it's just, they've traded guys away and they're just not overly active in the free agent market. They're kind of plugging and playing some starters and trying to find a position for them. They've still got more to get into in this one, but it's time for our first ad. And it's our only ad of the day, the live ones anyway. So we've got our good friends over at LinkedIn and talking about recruitment. This perfect ad. Perfect ad for the perfect episode. And these days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs, it helps you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Yes, sir. It is so easy to create a free job post on LinkedIn. You can add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring. Simple tools as well, like screening questions, make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. So how do you get into the action? Pretty easy. LinkedIn Jobs, they help you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. That's linkedin.com/lockedonMLB to post your job for free. Terms and conditions, though, do apply. Love that ad from LinkedIn. Love it. Let me know what you're thinking, guys. Is this roster, as it's currently constructed, this 40-man and one or two of the sprinkled guys, Garrett Hampson and Devin Smeltzer and maybe one or two others, can this roster make, can it outlast, can it last a 1-6-2 season? When we look at last year, let's just think about it. All the guys that missed time, Jazz, tons of time missed. Soler, Avisel Garcia missed time. That's potentially your starting outfield. So problems there. You've then got Garrett Cooper, missed time, and has always missed time. Joey Wendell missed a ton of time. Not sure about Gene. Yeah, Gene Segura, I think, missed a bit of time as well for the Phils. Luis Arraez, I don't think he missed a ton of time, but he did miss some. He's got this kind of knee issue. Catcher was solid. So this is the funny thing with the Marlins now. Just catcher just remains to be solid. Stallings, Fortes, just two studs, never missing any time. Love to see it. And equally, we're already seeing problems with the bullpen because they've gone, Kim's gone and made a big move, Blade for Puck. Great. Haven't seen Puck yet. He's hurt himself already. He was a guy, a reliever, a former starter, now reliever, that had one good year, the only good year he's had and full year he's had. Now he's turned up with the Marlins after the trade, already hurt. Tanner Scott, hurt. Both the guys are working back. So, have to call that out, that they're actually trending in the right direction. But, we haven't seen them yet in spring. They're already slightly behind the curve. This is not optimal for the Marlins. Like, we already talked about it last year where Floro got hurt. Next thing is everyone's scrambling around. Who's going to be in the leverage spots? What we don't want is the exact same situation where scrambling around, who's in leverage spots? Is Tanner Scott ready? Is Puck ready? Is Barnes back? Is Floro? And Floro looks to be like he's the kind of guy that kind of eases into things, like maybe a bit like old Big Dick Blyer, our good friend now with the Red Sox. But Blyer always started slow in terms of both spring and the year, and he kind of like got himself into the groove a bit later on. I don't know if Floro's the same, but he definitely took his time easing his way back in. So, I don't think Floro should be counted on to be like absolutely lights out if indeed he is going to be the closer. We know that Skip said it could be a committee, which basically means we've got a few leverage arms there, and we hope that one of them absolutely ascends at certain points. And if he doesn't, if he has a problem, we've got another guy we can swap out. But already the depth is going to, you know, being tested potentially in the bullpen with two of these leverage guys. Then you look at the next tier down, all of the next tier down being blown up, heavily blown up, I would say. Like there's just been reliever after reliever that's being blown up. So overall, I'm concerned. I've got some concerns that the Marlins haven't quite got enough depth to truly make a push, because the if we're healthy line, like, that isn't realistic. What are the Marlins doing about it? Well, news broke earlier on. I don't know if that's the right way of phrasing it, but by all accounts, the Marlins and Yuli Gurriel remain in contact. It sounds like that $3 million deal that was on the table, removed from the table, is still removed. Perhaps the Marlins are considering instead a minor league deal. You know, see what Yuli's got in spring. Potentially he can make the roster. Like, the first base situation remains open. We talked about it the other day. I talked about it. You guys probably listened to that. Maybe you agreed, maybe you didn't. I don't know. But I was talking about Jordan Groshans in that spot and how Groshans getting some time at first base is adding the versatility that can get him onto this roster. But fundamentally with Groshans, like, first base isn't the spot for him. Yuli Gurriel, I mean, let's just remind ourselves of what the kind of player could be there. Yes, he's, what, 37, 38 now. So he's of that age, let's say. When the news was swirling around a few weeks back, I messaged one of my good friends from the UK that's a big Astros fan. Messaged him and said, what's the deal with Gurriel? He said to me, he went, Pete, I absolutely love him. Love him. And if he signs with the Marlins, you will love him too. Defensively, he's miles better than people say he is. The glove is miles better than you think it is. So that was heartening. He also said with the stick, yeah, it was a bit of a down year last year, but overall he thinks he's a stud. And actually he wished that the Astros were going to re-sign Gurriel. This is from the biggest think of me as an Astros fan, but doesn't drink beer. That's exactly the guy that I was talking to. So shout out to George if he is listening. Hope he is. When you go back and look at Gurriel too, here's the other thing that really caught my eye. You know how we talked about Avisel Garcia and his, you know, skinny odd year Avi is going to absolutely rake? Well, go and have a look at Yuli Gurriel's years and his career. It is insane. I say insane. It's probably a little bit of a stretch. But even year Gurriel, not good. 2016, just use WRC plus here. 2016, 84 WRC plus. 2018, not too bad, 107 WRC plus. In 2020, 76. In 2022, 85. What about the odd years, Pete? Well, in 2017, 118 WRC plus. In 2019, best ever year, maybe. Maybe not. 131 WRC plus. In 2021, 132 WRC plus. Yuli Gurriel comes alive in odd years as well. Just imagine it now. I'm already dreaming about it. Gurriel, odd year Gurriel, odd year Avisel Garcia, contract year Jorge Soler. Just imagine if they're all healthy. What an offense we have. Here's the problem, though. No one will be healthy all at the same time, because that is baseball, my friends. The depth will be tested. Yuli Gurriel makes a ton of sense for the Marlins. He made a ton of sense for them back when they were originally looking at him. They obviously had a bit of bad blood around the way things were being negotiated. Gurriel maybe was hoping he'd land somewhere else, which makes sense. He's been on the Astros for years. It's a tough turn to go from the Astros to the Marlins just for various reasons. But overall, if his market is softened right now and, you know, he likes Florida or he likes Miami, like, who wouldn't? Makes a ton of sense. Gurriel, he's in his kind of, you know, maybe his final year. But the Marlins need help at first base. They really do. Really do. And it's an odd year. They should absolutely make it happen with Gurriel. They absolutely should. Coop cannot be out there every single day at first. He can't. You have to protect Coop. That was the thing. That's when the DH came out. We're all like, amazing for Coop. He might be the best hitter on the team. And we just need to protect him. Right field is a no-go for Garrett Cooper. So there we go, guys. Overall, I'm concerned about the depth. Gurriel helps with that, for certain. But I think in some ways they need to try and keep piecing a few things together here, adding a little bit more depth, a few more wrinkles, a few more layers, because inevitably the Marlins won't be healthy all year and we just need to give ourselves the best opportunity to stay in these games. I was bullish bullish on Twitter as well, have made the wildest of wild predictions, some would say. The Marlins, I believe, are about to break a Major League Baseball record, a relatively long-standing one. I believe it was the 1970, let's say 75, Mariners own this record right now with the greatest number of one-run wins in a year. 42, I believe. I think the Marlins are going to have 50-plus one-run wins in 2023. They're going to break the record. They're not just going to break it. They're going to smash it. This Marlins team, the way it's constructed, is designed to be in one-run games. That's what it's designed to be in. This team is designed to be in one-run games. And this year, with the offense designed as it is, and this bullpen enhanced, and the starting rotation looking like it is, the Marlins will be in so many of these one-run games, but they'll be winning them, winning more than they lose. Last year, they lost more than they won. This year, they'll be winning more than they lose, and they'll be in a ton of them. This is going to be the Marlins' MO. The games are going to be tight. They're going to be fun if you enjoy pain and you enjoy tight games. But there's going to be a lot going on, a lot of pressure on the bullpen, which is why it's concerning already. Tanner Scott, AJ Puck, hurt. Not good news. We need these guys to be firing. The leverage pen is going to be needed pretty much daily. There's going to be limited amounts of days where there's just kind of days off for the pen, sit there and just, you know, cruise it. Apart from Sandy games, because Sandy will go 9, because he always does. So, depth issues. One-run games happening. Gurriel makes a ton of sense. Also, Edward Cabrera, he has a minor league option, but the Marlins should only absolutely use that in an emergency. If something goes horribly wrong, right now everything is saying Edward Cabrera, nothing is going wrong. We need him to stay healthy. The Marlins need to manage his workload. They need to manage everyone's workload, which is why they're thinking about the six-man, which makes sense in some ways. We'll wait and see how it goes. But overall, that is me done and out of here. Thanks for making Locked On Marlins your first listen of the day. If you are considering your second listen of the day and want to go and hit up someone else, guys, it's fantasy season. So I strongly recommend you go and make your second listen, Locked On Fantasy Baseball. You can win your league by listening to Matt and Dom every day as they bring you the best fantasy draft strategies. Find Locked On Fantasy Baseball wherever you get your pods and on YouTube, of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And that's the same for the Marlins too. I'm Peter Pratt and I'll be back tomorrow. See you then.